another anointed king. His name is Jesus. But I'm going to back you up, actually, 500 years before this, and talk about the tribe of Judah a little bit. Remember Jacob in the Bible. Jacob is the one that, there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, he's the one that God changed his name to Israel. So he's the father of Israel in that sense. Jacob had 11 sons. And one of those sons, Joseph, had two sons that became tribes of Israel. So that's where the 12 tribes of Israel come from, the 12 sons of Jacob, or Israel. Toward the end of Jacob's life, Jacob brings in all of his sons and his grandsons, and he starts to speak prophetic blessings over their life. Okay. Now, back in those days, it was usually the eldest son who would be the leader. He would be the most blessed, and he would be declared to be the leader of the family. In this particular case, as Jacob is blessing his sons, his eldest son was named Reuben, but Jacob does not declare that Reuben is to be the leader. Instead, he chooses his son Judah to be the leader of all of the other brothers. Okay? So Judah, it says in Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 to 10, this is Jacob speaking this blessing over Judah. Okay, stay with me. Judah, your brothers will praise you. And actually the word, the name Judah, means praise. Your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's club, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah. That's the rulership, kingship. Will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Okay. Now, interesting. So David is going to be chosen from the tribe of Judah. But David was only the partial fulfillment of this prophecy given clear back in the book of Genesis. Okay? This is why David had to come from the tribe of Judah. The interesting thing is, this prophecy given clear back in Genesis, this blessing, won't be fulfilled in David or any of the kings of Israel. The only person that could fulfill what Jacob said all these years ago, clear back in the book of Genesis, the only leader, the only ruler that would ever fulfill this completely, where all the nations of the world would be ruled by him, is Jesus. So go clear back to Genesis, as it's already telling us about who Jesus would be. Now, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, now of course this is thousands of years after David, God shows the apostle John this. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." He's talking about Jesus. "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed." Oh man, there's a lot of powerful stuff there. The Lion of the, remember we just read about lions, right? Clear back in Genesis 49. Okay, this is a cool fulfillment of this thing that was said clear back in the book of Genesis. We find it again in Revelation in the person of Jesus. And notice how Jesus is called the Root of David. Now, in the natural, Jesus is a descendant of David. You wouldn't usually think of a descendant as being the root. You think of a descendant as being the branches, right? Not in the case of Jesus, because Jesus Christ is God, and he has always been God, so he has been here forever and ever. The Bible says that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So actually, Jesus came before David, right? So that's why he is called the Root of David. So in the natural, yes, Jesus came from the line of David, but in the spiritual, David came from Jesus. Does that make sense? Yeah. So cool. I hope you get into that as much as I do. I love it. All right, go back to 1 Samuel. Okay? They arrive at Jesse's house. They're in the town of Bethlehem. They do the sacrifice. And then when they arrive there at the house, Samuel sees Eliab. Verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, and he thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands before the Lord. He thought what all of us would think. Hey, I'm in the right town. I'm in the right house. This is the right family. This is the oldest son. And there must have been something about Eliab that was pretty impressive, because Samuel takes one look at him and this says, this has got to be the guy. This has got to be the guy God sent me to anoint as the next king. He looks like a king. He's the eldest brother. He's got to be the king. So Samuel assumes, like many of us do, that this has got to be the right person because he looks like the right person. Samuel made the same mistake that a lot of us make. A lot of times we just judge things too quickly without asking God first. We make assumptions that because things look a certain way, that must be how they are. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't make those kind of decisions too quickly in your life. Amen? Learn to wait upon God. Ask God for an answer. So the Lord speaks to Samuel, and here's what the Lord says to Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The Lord looks at the heart. Did you know your heart is the most important thing about you? What's happening in your heart today is the most important thing about you. Not how much money you have in your bank account. Not where you are on your career path. Your heart is the most important thing about you. And the Bible says God looks at our heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So this guy, he looks great on the outside, but God's looking at his heart and says, no, this isn't the right one. So God says to Samuel, this is not the one I've chosen. And so they bring in the next brother, Abinadab. God says it's not him either. They bring in the next brother, Shammah. God says it's not him either. This goes on seven times. Seven times. Son after son after son. Nope, 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 nope. And Samuel's got to be thinking, God, am I in the right place? Am I in the right house here? What is going on? Because all the sons... So he asks the question, do you have any other sons? Now, listen, Jesse thought so little of his own son, he didn't even bring him in as a candidate. See, I've got another son. He's, you know, out looking after sheep. I mean, you can't mean him, right? And so they send for him. And I like what Samuel says. He says, no one's sitting down until David gets here. All right, we're all standing here until David shows up. So I don't know how far away he was, how long that took, but they all stand there and wait. Okay, and then when they brought him in, it says, so he sent for him and had him brought in, verse 12, and he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. That's all pretty cool. And then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David. So I want to give you two things this morning, two takeaways that will help you. The first one is this: God chose David, and God has chosen you. God chose David, and God has chosen you. David wasn't the first, he wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the greatest, he wasn't the most respected by people, even by his own family, even by his own father, but God chose David. Psalm, verse 78, chapter 78, verses 70 and 71 says, the Lord chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, of the people of Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. So God took David from the sheep pen to the palace. God chose him. And I want you to know today, God has chosen you. You might look at yourself in the mirror and say, why? Why did God choose me? But I want you to know that's the truth. God has chosen you, and I don't care what other people have thought about you, other people have said about you. I don't care what the devil has tried to tell you about yourself. I don't care about even what you think about yourself. What God says about you is that he has chosen you. He's chosen you. Now, maybe he hasn't chosen you to be king, but can I tell you something? He's chosen you to be something better than a king. He's chosen you to be his child. Being a child of God is way better than being a king in this world. Way better. And God has chosen you to be his child. John chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus said to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you, Jesus says. We are God's sons and daughters. Man, that's an awesome thing. I want you to say with me this morning, I am chosen by God. I am chosen by God. Yeah. And then the second thing I want you to know is not only has God chosen you, but God has also anointed you. God has anointed you. God anointed David, and God has anointed you. Okay? I'm going to go back to verse 13. Samuel took the horn of oil that he had with him, this flask of oil, and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David. Now, oil is used throughout the Bible as a symbol, as a picture of the Holy Spirit. That's what's really going on here. It's not the oil that has the power. It's the Spirit of God that has the power. And the oil is a picture, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You think about some of the properties of oil. Oil was used for lighting lamps in the same way that the Holy Spirit enlightens our thinking. He enlightens our minds. It's the Holy Spirit that helps you understand the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you spiritual insights. The Holy Spirit that reminds us of the words of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit brings light to our thinking, light to our life. Oil was also used for healing, for cleansing wounds. They would use oil for wounds in the same way that the Spirit of God brings healing to our lives. It brings deep healing to the wounds that we have in our hearts. So the Spirit of God does that. Oil was also used refurbish, that's probably the wrong word, but to restore leather. Like when leather, they used leather a lot, when it would dry up and get cracked and all of that, they would use oil on it to soften the leather, to make it pliable again, then to protect it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. How many of you know our hearts have a tendency to get dry and dusty and cracked, right? Cracky. Our hearts can get hardened, right? Hardened and crusty. And so it's the Holy Spirit that can soften our hearts and make us pliable before God. So all of these properties of oil, they represent the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Okay? Now, as far as we know, Jesus was never anointed with oil, but Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus said about himself, quoting the book of Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." There's that word again. Anointed me to do what? To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Can you say amen to that? Recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Jesus. But I want you to know, the Holy Spirit has not only anointed David, the Holy Spirit not only anointed Jesus, I want you to know the Holy Spirit anoints us today. Amen? You're chosen by God and you're anointed by God. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Here's what 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 says. It says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One. So again, say this with me. I have an anointing from the Holy One. That's not me. That's the Word of God. We have an anointing from the Holy One. You think about the difference the Spirit of God makes in our lives. Amen? And how we so need the Holy Spirit. I think about that early church, They didn't have any money. They didn't have television and radio to help them. They didn't have any printing presses. They didn't have a church building. They didn't have anything. But they had the Spirit of God. They had the Holy Spirit. And because they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, they turned their city upside down. They turned their nation upside down. They turned the world upside down. Even though they didn't have any of the stuff we have today, they had the Spirit of God upon them. And church, this is what we need. We need an anointing from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? That's what's going to make a difference in our city. We're not going to change our city with buildings and radio and TV. They're all good. They're all good tools. But people's lives are going to be changed by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Amen? And so as we close the service this morning, I want to pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, this anointing, think about David's life, man. He's going to kill giants. He's going to win battles. He's going to resist temptation. He's going to learn to forgive people that he had to forgive. He's going to give honor to people that he didn't feel like giving honor to. He's going to be a man of God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And David knew every day how he needed the Spirit of God to make it. And church, I want you to know that God has anointed you, and we need the Spirit of God in our lives to make it. Amen? Every temptation you face, every victory, every battle that you come against, I want you to know the Spirit of God is going to, you're not going to go it alone. David didn't go it alone. The job was too big. The job of being king was going to be too big. And David wasn't going to go alone. He was going to go with the Spirit of God. The job of following Jesus Christ, it's too big for you and me. It is, but it's not too big for God. Amen? And he will anoint us and fill us. So let's ask the Lord right now to just come and anoint our lives and fill us with this same Holy Spirit. Would you do that right now? Amen? Hallelujah. God, we just come before you right now and we acknowledge, God, that we really need you. We need your Spirit. We need your anointing. God, the temptations that we face in life are too big for us to face alone. The challenges we're going to face, they're too big for us to face alone. The giants we need to battle against, God, they're too big for us. And God, we confess to you today that it's all too much for us. It's all too big for us. But God, we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power of your Spirit. And we pray this morning, we ask you, God, for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We open our hearts to you and we confess to you that we cannot make it in our own strength. We cannot make it, God, in our own wisdom. God, as much as we may want to, as hard as we might try, God, we cannot do it without you. So we ask, God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, God. Hallelujah, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our lives. Come on, church. Come on. Open your heart to God right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our lives, God. Transform us and change us. Hallelujah, God. Lord, where our hearts have become hardened, we ask, God, that you will just pour on us the anointing of your Holy Spirit to soften our hearts. May the oil of your Spirit flow over our lives this morning, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to attempt to do something here. I'm going to do this just without musicians. Pray for me. It's a simple song. It's a great prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Would you make this your prayer with me this morning? Sing this along with me. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own special way. Sing that again. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own special way. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask our worship team to come on up. God is good, church. Amen. Yeah, God is good. Pastor Troy mentioned earlier that we were going to receive a second offering today. The first Sunday of every month for the last 13 months, we've been receiving an offering that we've called Seeds for the Harvest. And this is all going toward paying down our mortgage. We have about $350,000 left on our mortgage, and I praise God that we are so close to reaching our goal. Over the last 13 months of these Seeds for the Harvest offerings, you have given over $200,000. Yeah, amen. God, we thank you. Thank you. It's awesome. And that's an amazing thing when you think about the giving above our tithes, that much, the Lord has helped that much to come in. So thank you for your generosity. We will continue. We're not going to do the monthly offering from this point on. This is our last opportunity for this. We will continue to pay down our mortgage, and we'll continue to talk about that. And we'll tell you more about that next Sunday, how we're going to continue to do that. But this is going to be our very last Seeds for the Harvest offering. And so our debt repayment is due this next week. And so I'm asking God for a miracle. I know $350,000 is a lot of money, but we serve a big God. We serve a big God. And so, guys, come on, let's give this morning. Let's just give joyfully. And come on up to the front. We're just going to pray, and we're going to ask God for a miracle today. Amen. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you that you're a big God. You're a great God. You're a provider. And, Lord, we just want to speak right now your blessing over this offering, God. And we pray, Lord, over the remainder of our mortgage, God, that we're going to pay off that mortgage. In a way, it's like facing a giant. And we want to see that giant come down in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask for a miracle, and we ask, God, that as we give today, God, that not only is it going to be sufficient, but we pray, God, your blessing, that there would be a flow of your blessing that takes place, because we can never outgive you, God. We know that. And that as we give, God, we and as we're generous, as we're a conduit of blessing, God, you just pour that much more of your blessing into our lives, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you're giving. Let's stand as we're receiving the offering, and let's sing while we're giving.